Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, February 6th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Development, Business Development, Latham. Developers tout data center plans. At Town Hall, Logan County residents wary of water power use. This is from Lincoln. Developers of a proposed 500-megawatt data center on 200 acres of agricultural land near Latham spoke of economic benefits, tax revenue, and local job creation at a town hall meeting Thursday in Lincoln, but attendees were skeptical. Representatives of Hut 8, a Miami-based digital infrastructure provider, were on hand to answer questions from roughly 100 people about the project, which is estimated to be a $5 billion investment that could yield up to $65 million in property tax revenue annually. Members of the public questioned potential impact on water supplies, electricity, and farmland, as well as the overall benefit to residents of Latham. Peter Gohausen, Director of Energy Origination for Hut 8, said that over the last month his company talked to a lot of people in the community, and while the region has some of the best farmland in America, the project can diversify some of the county's revenue away from its agricultural roots. He also noted the loss of residents who've moved to Springfield and of local jobs. What we think we have is a pathway to bring some of it back, Gohausen said. Local jobs. In addition to the property tax revenue, Gohausen said his company has worked with UA Local 137 Plumbers and Steamfitters on a commitment to union labor for construction work, which is estimated to bring about 1,500 temporary jobs, another 200 full-time jobs ranging from engineering to information technology to security would then be created to keep the center operational. Although some residents were receptive to the prospect of additional jobs and property tax revenue, many were skeptical that utility rates wouldn't be affected. The suggestion that jobs would be created locally and not filled by residents of Springfield and other communities outside Logan County was also challenged. One resident from Mount Pulaski said that when prime agricultural farmland is taken out of production for a project like this, it could set a precedent for Logan County to use additional land. Based on community feedback, Hut 8 representatives said they will work to provide additional data on property values in the area, potential noise levels, and the potential benefits to the people of Latham, many of whom claimed that they would reap none of the financial benefits of the project. Gohausen said local benefits could be afforded through a neighbor benefit agreement, which is a legally binding contract ensuring that a proposed development would have specific local benefits, such as jobs and new infrastructure. Ted Allen, village president, said his community does not want the data center. But if you need a list of stuff we want, we'll give you one, and it's going to cost, Allen said. Water use. Water use and potential contamination to the Mahomet Aquifer also were addressed during Wednesday's town hall. Greg Irwin, Senior Vice President of Energy Origination at Hut 8, said there are no plans to touch the aquifer, and the only water it would locally source would be for basic plumbing fixtures, which are estimated to run at less than 9,000 gallons a day. That would be fewer than 9,000 gallons a day. The data center would use a closed-loop cooling system, which uses a fixed volume of coolant that would be shipped into the company. In the event of power grid emergency events, such as rolling blackouts or severe weather, Irwin said Ameren would ask large industrial users with backup power like Hut 8 to shut down rather than let hundreds of thousands of residential houses go without power. In terms of order of operation, Ameren will always cut us off first, Irwin said. Logan County is in the process of drafting its own policy for data centers as a special use in agricultural districts, which was originally modeled on Sangamon County's regulations. The Logan County project is not the only data center request in central Illinois that has received backlash. For questions related to Logan County's data center project, contact the county at datacenter@logancountyil.gov or the developer at Logan County Data Center at hut8.com. Again, that's datacenter@logancountyil.gov or developer at Logan County Data Center at hut8.com. And the photo here on page 2 shows Greg Irwin, Senior Vice President of Energy Origination at Hut 8. On the left, he answers questions about the company's proposed data center near Latham during a town hall on Wednesday, February 4th, 2026, at the Lincoln Banquet Center in Lincoln. And there's another person in the picture, but he's not identified. And the large front page photo shows roughly 100 people listening at a town hall about Hut 8's proposed data center near Latham on Wednesday, February 4, 2026, at the Lincoln Banquet Center in Lincoln. And there are several round tables with folding chairs around them and people sitting, about 100 people, as it said, listening to the proposal about a data center being built in Logan County near Latham. Also on page 2 says local news, but this is state news. This is from Schaumburg. Threat to FBI, your day will come. Man 28 accused of menacing agents. This is from Chicago Tribune. A Schaumburg man has been arrested on charges of doxing and threatening an FBI agent whose information was stolen from a government vehicle during a protest over immigration-related shooting in Minneapolis last month. Jose Alberto Ramirez, 28, was arrested January 29th in Schaumburg on a criminal complaint filed in U.S. District Court in Minneapolis, charging him with transmitting a threat to harm another, court records show. Ramirez is scheduled to appear for a detention hearing at the Dirksen U.S. Courthouse on Tuesday to determine if he'll be brought to Minnesota in custody. His court-appointed lawyer for those proceedings declined to comment. The investigation stemmed from a January 14th shooting of an immigrant by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent during a targeted arrest in Minneapolis, according to the complaint. The shooting, which took place a week after a Border Patrol agent fatally shot U.S. citizen Renee Good, sparked a large, intense protest where FBI agents gathering evidence at the scene were forced to evacuate the area on foot for their personal safety, the complaint stated. The agents left behind two government-owned vehicles, which were vandalized and ransacked of materials inside, excuse me, including a rifle, a handgun, tactical vests, FBI identification, building access badges and rosters with employees' phone numbers, email addresses, and home addresses, the complaint stated. Within a day, agents whose information was contained in the documents were bombarded with threatening and disturbing phone calls, emails, and social media messages, some targeting their children or other relatives. Others were subjected to suspicious drive-bys at residences, according to the complaint. One FBI agent identified in the complaint as Victim A received text messages, emails, voicemails from 23 different senders to the agent's work cell phone, including several that were later linked to a phone number used by Ramirez, the complaint alleged. I know where your mom lives, bro, and your dad, and your kid's buddy. One text from January 15th linked to Ramirez's phone stated, according to the complaint, "Get home safe and fast." The same day, someone called Victim A from the Ramirez-linked phone and left a 7-second voicemail calling the agent a bitch-ass, expletive, and saying, "Your day will come," expletive, the complaint stated. The threatening communications have had a significant impact on victim A's personal and professional life, the complaint stated, saying the agent is afraid for their family's safety and has had to take significant security precautions at work and at home. According to the complaint, a search of law enforcement records showed Ramirez's phone was listed in a 2014 Schaumburg police report of a harassment complaint filed by a manager at the Woodfield Mall. The report noted Ramirez had been fired for threatening to shoot another employee, and that he was sending threatening messages that he would be returning to the workplace despite being fired, the complaint stated. No criminal charges were filed as a result of that investigation. Meanwhile, law enforcement traced Ramirez's cell phone billing records to a large apartment building in the 1300 block of Valley Lake Drive in Schaumburg, where he was apparently living under an alias, the complaint stated. Ramirez has a criminal history that includes a misdemeanor domestic battery, felony burglary, and mob action, the complaint stated. In What's Happening on page A5, St. Teresa to hold open house event. St. Teresa High School will hold an open house 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, February 11th. Students and parents will be able to take a tour of the campus, meet faculty, staff, and coaches, learn about the enrollment process and academic, extracurricular, and sports programs. Attendees will also be entered into a raffle for free registration, normally $125, for students who enroll for the 2026-2027 school year. St. Teresa is open to students of all faiths and backgrounds in the area and offers a variety of financial assistance programs to help with tuition. Register for the open house at stteresa.org, stteresa.org. Illinois Sheriff's Association scholarships available. The Illinois Sheriff's Association awards annual scholarships annually for permanent Illinois residents enrolled full-time in higher education. Sheriff Jim Root will award a $500 scholarship to a Macon County student who meets the criteria and is enrolled full-time for the 2026-2027 academic year. Applications are available at the Sheriff's Office, 333 South Franklin Street, or online at ilsheriff.org/youth-2. Again, that's ilsheriff.org/youth-2/. Applications are due by March 13th. Now let's turn to asking Eric for advice. Brother bullies siblings over aging mother's care. Dear Eric, my mother is in her last months of life. She's been cared for in her home for the last 3 years by increasingly expensive home health care workers. I and other siblings have suggested over and over that she be put in a care home for round-the-clock care. But our oldest sibling, we'll call them Jimmy, has steadfastly refused, saying nursing homes let people die and neglect patients and cause massive bed sores and all sorts of terrible over-the-top excuses. Well, now that Jimmy's own mother-in-law is going into a nursing home, Jimmy's decided it's time for our mother to go as well. We have had family meetings where we decide as a sibling group how to care for our mother, and then Jimmy goes against the group decision. Prior to the conflict over our mother's care, I had a good, albeit not close, relationship with this sibling, but now I'm so frustrated by the selfish choices made regarding our mother's care that I'm ready to say goodbye forever, once Mom is buried. Should I let years of bullying in regard to caring for our mother be the cause to cut off contact with Jimmy? Signed, Frustrated Little Sister. Dear sister, it's really unfortunate that Jimmy is dealing with the stress, confusion, and grief of this phase of life by refusing to collaborate and resorting to, as you write, bullying behavior. Perhaps in their mind, they're the one keeping the ship right. Perhaps they're grasping after a version of life that's no longer possible. I have empathy for them and for you, but the fact is that no matter their intentions, they've caused harm in your relationship, and that needs repair. Don't cut them off, but do have a conversation with them about the way you've interacted in the past. There's no need to rehash old conflicts, but it's fine to say something like, I didn't like being in conflict about Mom's care. I want us to have a different relationship going forward. How can we do that? Dear Eric, my husband and I moved to a new city last year and were eager to make friends. We became close to another couple, Susan and Mike, rather quickly and saw them often. I realized after several months, however, that while I enjoyed Susan's company, Mike is not someone I am comfortable with. He's a heavy drinker and makes sexist and racist comments that leave me cringing. I've reached out to Susan several times to suggest the two of us do things solo, but unfortunately, they are quite joined at the hip. She's reached out a number of times over the past couple of months to ask about our next get-together, and each time I pretended we had conflicts but didn't suggest alternative dates. She reached out again today, and I feel bad. I can't keep avoiding them, but I'm not sure how to best put some distance between us without creating ill will. I feel that honesty isn't the best policy here, but maybe I'm just trying to avoid the inevitable. Signed, Uncoupling the Couple. Dear couple, on Monday I published a letter with slightly similar issue, then replied that, alas, you can't divorce someone else's husband. The same is true in your case. Moreover, I think it would be wise to accept what Susan is communicating to you. If she and Mike are a package deal, warts and all, it will probably help you to think of them that way. I know that Susan's presence is more tolerable to you than Mike's, and from what you've written, for good reason. But it doesn't do much good to think about how ideal your friendship would be if you could just get Susan away from him. Not going to happen. Indeed, if he's saying racist and sexist things and you're cringing, but she isn't, Mike might not be the only one to hold those opinions. I don't mean to malign Susan's character, and it's not right to hold anyone responsible for their spouse's actions, but it sounds like she's thinking of this as a couple relationship, and so the truth for you is that it doesn't work. I find directness to be the best course when one friend keeps reaching out, difficult though it may sometimes be. The alternative, slowly drifting apart or escalating instances of ignoring, stands to create just as much ill will. Instead, consider the truth. We like you and we've appreciated being friends with you, but it's hard to take some of Mike's comments, such as X and Y. Today in history, on this date, in 1778, during the American Revolutionary War, the United States won official recognition and military support from France with the signing of the Treaty of Alliance in Paris. In 1862, during the Civil War, Fort Henry in Tennessee fell to Union forces. In 1899, a peace treaty between the United States and Spain was ratified by the U.S. Senate. The treaty ended the Spanish-American War and ceded the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and Guam to the United States. In 1921, The Kid, Charlie Chaplin's first feature-length film, was released across the United States. In 1952, Britain's King George VI, 56, died at Sandringham House in Norfolk, England. He was succeeded as monarch by his 25-year-old eldest daughter, who became Queen Elizabeth II. In 1998, Washington's National Airport was renamed Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, honoring the former president on his 87th birthday. In 2023, toy maker Hasbro Incorporated announced that Monopoly fans had voted online to add a cat token to the board game, replacing the iron. In 2022, Queen Elizabeth II celebrated the 70th anniversary of her ascendance to the British throne, an unprecedented reign that made her a symbol of stability in the UK. Now here's hints from Heloise where you can buy single bed sheets. Dear Heloise, please tell the reader who was asking that you can purchase single bed sheets on Amazon. You can buy them fitted and or flat, as well as by bed size. I recently did this myself, and I was happy with the product. I'm a fan of your hints. Signed, Rachel R. via email. Shopping sound off. Dear Heloise, it was the week before Christmas, and I was shopping at a large, well-known retail store where they only had one register open and a line that was the length of the entire store. Then retailers cry because they are losing business to online shopping. Well, Mr. CEO, who makes millions, here is why. I can order from an online store and often get it the same day. I don't have to spend time looking for a parking place. I don't have to search all over the store for things. I don't have to stand in long lines to check out because you don't want to hire more employees. I can relax at home instead. So stop your crying and stop trying to please your investors. Try pleasing your customers instead. Signed, Shirley C. in Gardena, California. Shirley, winter is, as we all know, the cold and flu season. This past Christmas, there was a terrible flu strain that swept across this country and lasted for a longer time than usual. Many companies had problems with staffing due to so many of their employees calling out sick. It may seem easy to just hire temporary help, but many people don't want a temporary job, or they were sick and simply didn't want to work. Having said that, management should be aware that customers don't often complain. Instead, they'll just never go back to a particular store. Surely there was someone somewhere who could take the job, but not for minimum wage. Standing on your feet for hours and waiting on customers who can't find what they want is not an easy job. Let's hope stores learn their lesson this winter. Signed, Heloise. Stinky litter box smell. Dear Heloise, if any of your readers have tried everything but still can't get rid of the smell of stinky litter box, then they should take their cat to the vet for a thorough exam. I never had a problem with the litter box smell from my two cats until last year when I took in my brother's elderly cat after he became unable to care for her. The smell of urine from her box was so strong that you could smell it 2 rooms away through a closed door. The vet diagnosed her with urinary crystals and kidney disease. Once we got her on the right food and medication, the smell was gone within a few weeks. Signed, Sandra G. via email. Cooking for One. Dear Heloise, I cook for myself, and I've learned some shortcuts. I cook a 1-pound bag of rice in my cooker. When it's done, I scoop up 1/2 cup of rice into a snack bag and seal it. Then I place several of these into the freezer bag and place them in the freezer. When I want rice, I remove one bag, open it a little, and microwave it for a minute. It comes out hot, fluffy, and ready to eat. I enjoy reading other people's ways to save time and money. There isn't a lot of local news in the Herald and Review today, so I'll read some E-Edition Plus. Nutrition Advice, Citrus Fix, 8 Health Benefits of Oranges. What to know before eating oranges. Oranges are generally healthy and safe to eat. Eating oranges and drinking orange juice can have a few risks, including aggravating gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD, symptoms, such as heartburn, causing an allergic reaction, although rare, interacting with certain drugs, and weight gain if you drink too much juice over time. Number one, it helps with hydration. One navel orange provides about 4 ounces, 1/2 cup of water. Generally, women need about 92 ounces, 11 and a half cups of fluids daily, while men need about 124 ounces, 15 and a half cups. People usually get about 20% of their fluids from food. Water-rich foods like oranges can help you meet your daily requirements and keep you hydrated. Consuming enough fluids has several benefits, such as aiding in digestion, flushing out waste, lubricating joints, preventing dehydration and constipation, and regulating body temperature. 2. Digestion assistance. One medium navel orange offers 2.8 grams of fiber. Fiber has several benefits, like aiding with digestion, helping regulate blood sugar and insulin levels, regulating your bowel movements, satisfying your appetite for long periods. Increase your fiber intake slowly. Eating too much fiber too quickly can cause bloating and gas. Increase your water intake when eating more fiber to reduce constipation. 3, may help reduce belly fat. The fiber content of oranges may help reduce belly fat. Carrying excess belly fat increases inflammation and the risk of type 2 diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure, and some cancers. Oranges are also a source of flavonoids, which can reduce fat mass and disease risk. 4, immune system support. One medium navel orange has nearly 100% of the daily value for vitamin C. Vitamin C supports the immune system and helps your body make collagen, another health-promoting nutrient. Citrus juice can also reduce inflammation, which can help prevent disease. 5, help with iron absorption. Vitamin D helps your body absorb iron, which helps your body use oxygen better. A lack of iron can cause fatigue. Getting enough is especially important for menstruating people who lose iron through menstrual blood. Iron is also essential for people who follow a plant-based diet because it's harder for the body to absorb iron from plant-based foods such as foods than from animal sources. 6, help protect against disease. Oranges pack flavonoids, which have antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antiviral, and antimicrobial properties. Antioxidants help protect against cell damage called oxidative stress. This cell damage can lead to inflammation linked to diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. High flavonoid intakes may lower the risk of depression, especially among older adults. Drinking orange juice daily may also help lower cholesterol, which reduces the risk of diabetes and heart disease. 7, may lower cancer risk. Orange peels have some of the highest flavonoids and vitamin C content of any citrus fruit. The flavonoids in citrus peels help prevent cancer from growing and spreading. Flavonoids help regulate or program apoptosis, which is the body's process of killing off abnormal cells before they multiply and grow out of control. 8, might improve cognitive function. Orange juice may improve cognitive function in older adults, helping them think more clearly. This may be because drinking moderate quantities of citrus juice enhances blood flow to the brain. And that takes us to the end of part one of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, February 6, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.